glad that you're here today, and we need to pray for one another. I know several are out with illnesses that struck our singers, so we pray for all the folk that we can all avoid the cold and flu season. Wouldn't that be nice? But we have not because we ask not. Well, today we're going to continue in the matter of heaven. And one of the things that is a truth concerning heaven, we read about it in Psalm 72, is the matter that we are going to reign with Christ. Now, when we say that, people sometimes are a little, yes, okay, I understand. We will reign with Christ. Christ will reign. I'll be reigned over. But that's not what the text says. So we need to really kind of think about what's going on here. Now, when God made man, Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, they were to have dominion over the earth. They were to rule over the earth. He created them to be the king and the queen over all of his creation. And they failed. Jesus is the second Adam. He succeeded where Adam, the first Adam, failed. He was victorious over death and hell. He conquered these things. And because of his victory, we can have victory too. We enter in to that victory with him. One day, we will rule as the queen with him, because the Bible tells us that the church is the bride of Christ. Now, if we're the bride, that means we're related to the king. And it's, kind of a thing that follows along that the king reigns and so does the queen. And so we are related there to this matter of Christ in the kingdom. We saw there in Psalm 72 how that that Jesus is promised that he will reign for all peoples. And he will reign from the river, it says, unto the very ends of the earth. He will rule over every part of this creation. In Revelation 22 and verse 5 tells us concerning the Christian a very similar truth. Although much more succinctly, it says, and they, the last part of the verse, shall reign forever and ever. Now, we're going to be reigning in heaven. We are going to be reigning with the Lord Jesus there in heaven. These kingdoms that we live in now and the world system that we have today is not the end of all of human history. Today we live in very corrupted kingdoms. The prophet Daniel in chapter 2 spoke of this when he had a vision of a great image. And this image had a head of gold and, you know, a top part of silver and the middle of brass and the bottom of iron and clay. And, there was these terrible visions that Daniel had of these things. And in the midst of these visions here, in verse number 35, we are told, and then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the gold broken to pieces and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And so there's going to be a king, a kingdom that's going to come, and it will replace all of these earthly kingdoms. It will take away these kingdoms. It will move them out of the way, and it will fill all of the earth. In verse 44, it says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Yes, the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign over a kingdom here upon this earth. He will rule and reign forever, a kingdom that will never end. The kingdoms of this world will bring their glory into that kingdom of Christ. And there will be no evil and wickedness in that day. Sin will be put away when the Lord Jesus rules and reigns. Now, we often think of that, and we think of that as, well, you know, that's the end of human history. Because, you know, we've had human history, we've seen all the mistakes, we've seen all the failures, now Christ is ruling and reigning. No more humans. But that's not exactly so. Because we are still going to be alive. And if we're alive, there's a history. And so there will still be a history. It will not be the perverted history that we have to learn today of wars and rumors of wars and destruction and death. It will be the greatest time in human history. The history of man, freed from sin, free to serve God with all of his strength and all of his might. We will reign with Christ. And so we want to think about that fact, that period when we will actually rule with Christ. Yet this is, to so many people, a surprising thing. They just can't believe that we, who have so messed up the world and creation, could be allowed to rule and reign. I mean, surely it would be enough for us if we just got to heaven. You know, got in the door. I mean, that would be sufficient. Just inside, you know, just to make it. That would be enough. But God has provided for us even greater than we can think. We who have so messed up are going to be given authority to rule and to reign over this world. If you look in the book of Revelation, there are some passages here in just the first couple of chapters there, the first five chapters, that point this fact out, that give us this truth that we will be ruling and reigning there with Christ. Beginning in chapter 2 and verse number 10, he says, "For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now you wear a crown because you're in charge of something. You're ruling. Right? That's why you get a crown. Because you're a leader over something. And so it speaks of ruling there. In verse 26 of that same chapter, he says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, him I will give power over the nations." We are told that we will rule over those nations. In chapter 3, in verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So again, we have that ruling. Verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Again, ruling. In chapter 4, in verse 10, we are told, "The 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne." And so they give over their leadership and rulership to Christ. But they have been given that leadership and rulership by Christ. And then in chapter 5, in verses 9 and 10, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That's what the scripture says. And yet, when we think about that, it's kind of surprising to us, isn't it? That God would let us rule and reign. And yet that is exactly what the Bible teaches. Back in the book of Luke in chapter 19 and verse number 17, we read this verse. In Luke 19:17, it says, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful over very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And so there seems to be a principle that God is preparing us even now for leadership. And he says, "You've been faithful over a little, I'm going to make you a ruler over much." Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, speaking to us, says this in verses 2 and 3. He says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Sorry, 1 Corinthians. You've got to watch that first and second. It's confusing there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Paul says to the Corinthians, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? The apostle says to us, you know, this is like theology 101. This is the beginning. You know, this is just something that everybody ought to know. I mean, certainly ought to understand this. Why, you know, Paul says, you're going to rule over angels. You're going to judge the world. If you're going to judge the world and you're going to judge angels, can't you deal with some small little tiny issues here on the earth? It seemed we couldn't do it. And so he points out that we will be judging, that we will be ruling in the next world. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 12, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And so when we suffer with the Lord, we are promised that we will also reign with him. As Christ suffered for our sins, so we who go through this world now and its troubles and its difficulties and all of its burdens and all of its heartaches, we will rule with him. Just like he now reigns, so we will reign. And so the Bible makes it plain that we will reign with Christ. This ought not be a fact that surprises us. The Bible makes it plain all through the New Testament that we are going to rule and reign with Christ. Even in the book of the Psalms, it tells us that we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus. And so it is a fact of Scripture. It shouldn't be a fact that surprises us. Our inheritance, though, is owning and ruling the land of our Heavenly Father. That's going to be the inheritance we're going to receive. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us this. In Romans 8, verse 16 and 17, he says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. See, we are going to have an inheritance. He says we are joint heirs. Well, that's an amazing fact. I mean, that's a shocking thing to any of us. That we would be allowed to participate in the inheritance of Christ. And yet this is what the Scripture proclaims. This is what heaven is like. We are going to receive an inheritance. And that inheritance is this universe, this world God created that man would rule and reign over. Christ as the second Adam will reign over this world. And we will rule and reign with him in this place. And so this is the inheritance that our Father has prepared for us. Now we have to suffer because there's a usurper who is the prince of the power of the air. Right now, Satan rules over the kingdoms of this world. He has taken charge over these things. He rebelled against God. He had caused Adam and Eve to sin. He tempted them and brought them to sin. And as the usurper, he is now trying to organize a rebellion against God and bring about a destruction of the kingdoms of God. But the good thing is, God has promised us over and over and over that he will pay. The gates of hell shall not prevail. They will not win. The organizations and schemes of hell are not going to be victorious. We will be winning. We will be victorious. You know, it gets discouraging sometimes when we look around and we think, it doesn't seem like we're winning. But that's just because you're in the middle of the battle. You don't see the whole picture. You just see your little spot where you're at, and it looks a little rough where you are. But you know what? Christ is ruling and reigning. One day he's coming back to establish his rule and his reign. We will be done with that usurper in that day. But in this time, it is our responsibility to be battling for the very souls of men. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, it tells us here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, we're not fighting people. We're not wrestling against people. We're not arguing with people. We're not battling with people. That's not who we're fighting against. We are fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting with Satan for the souls of men. He's doing everything in his power to keep them from coming to Christ. He gets all manner of activities and things for them to do. He fills their life with busyness so that they don't have time. They're so busy, so full, so, you know, overwhelmed. Oh, I don't want to talk to anybody about my soul. I'm not concerned about those things. He brings out false philosophies that cause people to believe that there is no God, that there is no maker, that God didn't create the heavens and earth. Everything just sort of all showed up. He's a deceiver. He's trying to confuse people so that the souls of men will be lost. That's his goal. And we are in a fight with him. We're not in a fight with people. They're poor, deceived ones who need to be rescued. As the old song says, rescue the perishing. What we need is to battle with Satan. We need to be part of that spiritual warfare for the souls of men. Now, as we think about this wonderful inheritance that is coming, when we will rule with our Heavenly Father and rule in this land, we should recognize that this is not something that is wrong to desire. We sort of think of it as, you know, maybe it's not right to think about that. Maybe I shouldn't want that. But you know, God is the one who made this system up. One day, He, Christ, is going to come, and all of the governments of the earth are going to be replaced with a wonderful dictatorship. Now, generally speaking, I'm not very much in favor of dictatorships today. They tend to do bad things. And ultimate power, as the old saying goes, corrupts ultimately. But I do feel very good about the Lord Jesus ruling as the dictator. He who reigns in righteousness. He who holds an iron scepter. He who knows the hearts of men. He who will judge and execute judgment in righteousness. For there will never be a miscarriage of justice. No one ever put in jail because of a mistaken identity. No one ever falsely accused. No one ever brought to justice who didn't deserve it. Christ will rule you. What a wonderful day it will be when He rules and reigns. When we don't have to have a giant bureaucracy that we have in our country today, which seems to exist for no other purpose than propagating their own jobs. We won't have that in those days. We won't need an army. Nothing against you guys who are in the army. I'm thankful for you. But won't it be wonderful when we don't need you? When, you know, we don't have to have it. When we don't need an EPA, when we don't need a Department of Education, when we don't need any of these rules and regulations. We don't need a Commerce Department. We don't need a State Department. Because the King rules and reigns. What a blessing that will be. When Jesus sits upon the throne. And we are His people. And we are part of that wonderful rule. But you know, He has told us over and over that He is going to assign to us ruling, that He is going to give to us places to administer, to rule over. And so, we are a part of that family of God. And you know, it's not wrong to want to be part of the family business. And so we're going to serve the Lord in ruling and reigning. What a
unless that's going to be, some of us, might be a little afraid, because you might think, well, I don't really like being in charge. There's, difficulties there. You got problems, you got, hardships, you got all kinds of problems that come up, things you have to solve, I just don't have that mentality, and I just don't feel good about being in charge. Well, remember a few facts. There won't be any sin to make government evil. There won't be any sickness to make us weak. There won't be any weakness in us to make the responsibility that we are given a burden. There won't be any fear to keep us from wanting to be up front. I know some panic when they think about having to be up in front of an audience. Stand up here and talk. That's so scary. Not in that day. There'll be no fear. We will have a new heart, a new body, a new mind, freed from sin and freed from all its troubles. God will place us in the role He will have for us. So we should want to rule. And this ruling is God's idea. It's His idea. It's not ours. In Matthew 25, you have the parables there of the kingdom. And in Matthew 25, they're beginning in verse number 14. We have these parables concerning stewardship. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country and called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every one according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. And when they had received 5 talents, traded and advanced, and the guy with 2 traded and advanced, and the guy with 1 hid them." And then down in verse number 20, it says, "And so he that had received the 5 talents came, and he brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents, behold, I have gained 5 besides these.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Now, I don't want to go on to all of the things and the repetition and the guy who didn't do one and spend all the time on that. Because that's not what we're looking at. We're thinking about ruling in heaven. Here's a guy who's going to be faithful over what God gave him. He took whatever it was that God gave him. He didn't know, what it mattered. It really didn't matter how much God gave him. And some people are just wonderfully gifted. They can do all kinds of things. They can speak and they can remember and they can do just, wonderful things. They're great people. Praise God for those. Thank the Lord. But some can only do one thing. Thank God for them too. Because, it doesn't matter whether we're faithful with what little we have or we're faithful with what much we have. What matters is that we're faithful. That's what's important. And if we're faithful, He has promised that we will enter into the joy of our Lord. We will enter into that place. We will be rulers over many things. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. We will be there. These stewardship principles, these stewardship parables here, are teaching a literal truth. Now understand that, a parable is a, story that was not real to teach a literal, real truth. And the literal, real truths are spelled out for us very plainly, the point that we are to get from. And that's why you can't just, make all kinds of things out of these parables, because you can get up to all kinds of falsehoods if you go too far. But here the Lord lays out for us the important matter of the parable. He says, if you're faithful now, you will rule and reign then. And so there's a wonderful promise there. This is a literal thing. God's word has to be taken seriously. When He tells us that we are going to rule and reign with Him, the Lord means it. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 29, Luke 22, 29, he says, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now this is given to the apostles for their faithfulness of being with the Lord. But he says he has appointed unto them a kingdom, and they will sit and eat and drink with the Lord in heaven. I think that means what it says. They're going to rule over a kingdom, and that they will literally eat and drink with the Lord in heaven. What a blessing that is. And so God's word is serious. It needs to be taken seriously. This universe that God created needs governing. You say, well, who do we need governing? God created it. He said it was good. Yes, but he created man and he put him in the garden to dress and keep. Now, I'm not exactly sure what dress and keep meant. I'm not sure what one had to do in a garden where weeds didn't grow and thorns weren't there. But he had something to do. And there was something that he was responsible to rule and reign over. You know, God has a ruling and a reigning even in that perfect universe. We are going to be given that responsibility of ruling and reigning. This world needs governing now. We can understand that because there's sin in it. We understand we need governing. But it needs it after sin is removed. God made the universe that way. He created it so that we will rule and reign over. And so we ought to look forward to what God has for us. As Matthew 25, 23 said, we are going to enter into the joy of our Lord. It's not wrong for us to look forward to ruling and reigning with Christ, to being his co-heir and joint heir with him. Right now, we can think of this life as being an apprenticeship. You're under the tutelage of the Master. He's training you. He's building you. He's changing you from image to image and glory to glory. He's preparing you for that day when you can rule and reign. Now, we may not understand what he's doing. It may not seem like we're learning all the lessons we need to learn. But you know what? The Master knows. He knows what he's doing. He understands these things. And so, he is teaching us what we need to do. He is teaching us to rule. He is teaching us to reign. And so we ought to look forward to that day when we can rule and reign in Christ. When our gifts shall be given. And we shall receive those wonderful rewards. And we will live for him forever. And so in the midst of the battle, as you face the sufferings that go along with life right now, remember there is a purpose. The Master's taking you through an apprenticeship. You're learning to rule and reign. You don't understand all of what he's doing. Just like most apprentices don't understand all of the instructions that the Master gives them. But that's not the issue. Our job is to be faithful in what the Lord has given us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are thankful that we are promised this wonderful joy of ruling and reigning with Christ. How we look forward to that day when we can reign with you. Lord, not boastfully or proudly, but because that is what you have given to us. It is your gift for us. What a blessing. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you've done. Help us, Lord, as we go through these lives, our lives to be found faithful. Lord, may we recognize in the midst of the sufferings and difficulties that you are preparing us. You are developing us. You are getting us ready for heaven. And so, Father, we thank you for all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have a song of invitation. And if the Lord spoke to somebody about something, we'd be happy to talk with you. If we can be of help, or you just need to come and pray. The altar's open.